Welcome, it's Kenny Pratt here, and thanks for joining me in this first of five sessions in the Effective Follow-Up Workshop. So in this session, we're really going to lay the groundwork and get some of our tools together that are going to be useful in all of the scenarios that we're going to cover in session 2, 3, and 4. And these tools and tactics are going to make your follow-up job just a lot easier and more effective. I know you're busy, and that means you probably want to get the most out of this as quickly as possible. So if you're listening to the audio version of this, then just pause for a second and grab a piece of paper. It'll be a lot more efficient if you just take notes as you go. By taking your notes and writing down your ideas, you'll kind of process all this information more quickly without having to listen to it again and again and again. Okay, and so there's also, if you'd like to review, there's a transcript of this session, or rather kind of a written version. It's not exactly word for word transcript, but a written version of this session. And you can review there and take notes there in the margin if you'd like. Okay, so let's get right on with it. So like I mentioned in the welcome video, you know, even if your selling skills are unrefined, you can make big gains just by getting good at follow-up. Now there's different situations and they require different approaches, but there are really six parts or principles that we're going to cover here in this first session that are universal to all three scenarios we're eventually going to cover. All right, so let me just hit these in kind of an order, 1 through 6. I'm just going to hit them real quick, and then what we're going to do is go into each one in a little more detail. Okay, so number one is get a name and a phone number at the beginning of your phone call so that you know how to recontact this person. You can't follow up if you can't recontact them. Second, you're going to get a date needed. That's basically the deadline that your prospect has for making a decision and renting a storage space is the day they give you that they need it. So you need to do all your follow-up before that day. It's a pretty important date. Third, you're going to keep track of your prospective customers who call or walk in. Fourth, as you're keeping track, you're also going to keep track not only of their name and phone number and those kind of details, but you're also going to write down personal information about the prospect, things that they've shared with you about their story, about their situation during that phone call or that visit, so that you can use it later to build rapport and reconnect with them based on some of the details that you talk about in your initial conversation. Number five is you're going to follow up often. The biggest mistake most people make is they're not following up enough. And number six, make the follow-up job you're going to be doing in the future easier by calendaring all those callbacks. So let's take a look at each of these six principles in a little more detail. All right, number one, get a name and a number. Okay, so the first step of effective follow-up is to know who you're talking to and have a method of recontacting them. You know, there's just a lot of ways to do this, but the main point here is really just to simply ask. If you'll just ask, even if you do a crummy job of it, 9 times out of 10 or even 99 out of 100, you're going to get the information you want. So let me just give you a couple of approaches. I'll walk you through a few approaches to getting the name and the phone number in case you're uncomfortable with this. It's not rocket science, but I find that a lot of people like to have a starting point. So you can use kind of what I give you here as a starting point and then work with it until it feels comfortable, until you've got an approach that feels comfortable to you, feels natural. So here's option one, or kind of starting point number one. You can ask in just a very straightforward manner. You're in the conversation, you just say, "Hey, I'm sorry, I didn't get your name." And then you just pause for a second. Pausing indicates to the other person that it's their turn to talk. So you say, "Hey, I'm sorry I didn't get your name." And you just pause, and they'll generally give you their name. And then you just ask, "And your number?" Pause again, they'll give you their phone number. So that's kind of simple, straightforward approach. Second approach is you can confirm their phone number first by confirming what you see on your caller ID. So assuming you've got a number on your caller ID, you can go for the number first. And you say, "Hey, I see you're calling from 555-1212. Is that the best number to reach you at?" Then you pause for the answer. And then you'd ask, "And your name?" So, "Hey, I see you're calling from 555-1212. Is that the best number to reach you at?" Yeah, that's the best number to reach me at. Oh yeah, and let me get your name. And they give you your name. So that's approach number two, basically confirming what you see on caller ID. Approach number three is simply giving your name first and then asking for theirs in return, because giving their name back to you would be the polite thing to do. So it would sound something like this. Hey, by the way, my name is Sandy, and yours? And then you pause for the answer, and they're going to give it to you. And then, and your number, and you pause for the answer. Or alternatively, you can say, hi, by the way, my name is Sandy, and yours? After pausing for the answer, you get their phone number. Hey, I see you're calling from 555-1212. It's just the best number to reach you at. So there's three approaches to getting the name and phone number. You can start with those and then kind of tweak it and get it comfortable for you. So the next step, the next point, I guess, the tool, is to find out their deadline. All right, so at some point in the conversation, you need to get a sense for when the customer is going to need the storage space. You know, and I recommend you ask this early in the conversation, because understanding this kind of key bit of knowledge helps you customize the offer, customize the approach that you make kind of during the whole sales process. And we're not going to get into that whole bit here, because this is really just focused on follow-up. But regarding follow-up especially, it's important to know the date the prospect needs the space, because it tells you what they consider their deadline. So for example, if the prospect tells you she needs the storage space by Saturday, then you know that any follow-up you're going to do will have to be between now and Friday, because Saturday is probably too late. You know, she's probably already signed a rental agreement and plans on moving in on Saturday. So try to follow up after Saturday, and you just missed the boat completely. All right, so moving on from finding their deadline. Number three, you're going to keep track of your prospective customers. Okay, so now you have a name and a number, and maybe even an email as well, and you know when the prospect needs the space. What you need is a place to keep track of all this information, and I recommend that you just use a plain, a simple call tracking sheet, and just jot down the information as you go. You can find a simple call tracking sheet that you can download and use in the resources section of this session. If you don't already have something that you like, or you want to take a peek at my version, go ahead and take a look at that. You can download it. Okay, so number four, use the call tracking sheet to record the personal details. So not only is the call tracking sheet useful for capturing names and the contact and contact details like phone numbers and emails and stuff, but also has a second purpose. As you're talking with the prospect, you should be jotting down some of their personal details that they're likely to share with you as they're kind of telling you their story about moving or relocating or whatever their situation is that's causing them to need storage. They're probably going to tell you a little bit about that while you're having this conversation with them. So keep track of some of these details so you can bring it up later as you're contacting them again in a follow-up. It helps reestablish the connection that you've created with them as one human being to another. It helps you rebuild that rapport that you started to build in that first initial conversation. Let me give you some examples. Let's say you've got a prospective customer who mentions in her conversation with you that she's just really stressed out about her move. So you go to follow up with her a little later, and you can mention that. So it might go something like, hey, you know, I've been under a lot of pressure lately, the last few days, and it really made me think of you and how stressed out you were the last time when you called the other day. Are things going any better? Or alternatively, hey, I know you're really stressed out the last time we talked. Are there still a lot of loose ends they have to deal with before your move? So there you go. You're reconnecting with this gal who's told you in her first conversation that she's really stressed out. Now when you follow up, you're kind of bringing that in as a pertinent detail. So let me give you another example. Let's say there was a man who's looking for storage because his mom passed away. Say his name is Bob. So you might reconnect with Bob. And this is kind of a touchy situation, but it could be a very nice and easy touch point for you to reconnect with him. You might say something like, hi, Bob. I'm calling to follow up about the storage space you called about for your mother's things. Is the family holding up okay? So as a side note, you'll notice that in both of these examples, I started with a statement but ended with a question. So here it is again in case you missed it. So I know you're really stressed out the last time we talked. Statement. Are there still a lot of loose ends you need to deal with before your move? That's the question. Starting with a statement reconnects you with the prior conversation, and the question indicates that you're interested in them, that you're interested in hearing more about their situation and how they're doing as a human being, reconnects you with them. And then you pause and you let them talk. It lets you reconnect a little bit with them. So the exact words that you choose and the topics you choose to talk about and when you reconnect with people in the follow-up, you know, that's really going to be up to you. Of course, you want to be tactful. That goes without saying. I can't really teach you how to be tactful here in this follow-up session, but it goes without saying that you need to be tactful in the way you do this. You're trying to build rapport with these people. You're trying to show them that you care. You're trying to show them that you were listening the last time you talked, that you understand their situation, that you are connected with them as one human being is connected with another. On to number 5. So when and how often do you follow up? You have a name, you have a number, you have some personal details, and you're ready for some effective follow-up. So now the question just becomes, when and how often? So let me give you 2 simple rules of thumb here. The first is that the less committed the prospective customer is, the sooner you have to follow up. The reason for that is because these people, if they're not committing to storing with you or making an appointment to come in and do the paperwork or making an appointment to come see the storage space or something along those lines, it's probably because they want to keep shopping. And if they're shopping, then they're going to be making some additional phone calls or inquiries as soon as later that same day. You know, they may just get off the phone with you and make a few more phone calls. So if they're uncommitted, you want to follow up with them quickly, which means you want to get back with them probably later that same day at a maximum the next day, because you want to jump back in to their buying process before they make a commitment to rent with somebody else. Give yourself another chance to reconnect and get another chance to seal the deal. Okay, the second rule of thumb is the more time that passes between when the prospect calls you and when they're actually needing the storage space, the more often you have to follow up. So the first rule of thumb is how soon. The second rule of thumb is kind of how many times. And so if a lot of time is going to pass between when you first talk to this person and when they actually need the storage space, then you're going to want to contact them multiple times. It's probably going to be the most effective is to touch base with them more than once and multiple times between when they call you the first time or talk to you the first time and when you ultimately rent them a storage unit. More specifically, on the timing of the follow-ups, when there's a big lag time between their initial contact and the time that they need the storage space, what I would recommend is that you're going to contact them at least once a week. If there's multiple weeks between their first contact and their actual need for a storage space, you're going to be in touch with them at least once a week. And then if there's multiple months, I know that's not very, very usual, but sometimes there may be multiple months between when they first inquire and when they actually need the storage space. If multiple months are involved, then I would recommend that you're following up with them and staying in contact with them at least once a month between their initial contact and the month that they're going to need it, and then once a week during the month that they indicated they would need the space up until the time that they actually need it, the date needed. So once a month and then once a week. And I know this might be a little bit confusing, so I created a small, really brief video that you can find in the resources section of this session that shows you visually on a calendar what I'm talking about. All right, so lastly, number 6, you're going to calendar your contacts. So if you keep a call tracking sheet and implement all this follow-up contacting that I'm going to recommend, you know, in the next 3 sessions, soon you're going to have more contacts. You're going to need a little bit better system to keep track of all this information. And it really is going to become ineffective to have this pile of call tracking sheets stacked up, you know, on your desk. Leafing through the stack of call tracking sheets is not effective. It becomes too easy for a potential customer to be forgotten or overlooked. Also, because your follow-up must happen before the date the prospective customer said they need the unit, I recommend that you use a computer calendar or an online calendar to keep track of the calls you make. I'm assuming if you're listening to this that you're comfortable with a computer. But if you must use a paper calendar, then be sure to use one with plenty of room to write down the details. So here's a couple of side notes on the calendar. A small wall calendar is not going to be adequate. You're not going to have enough room to write the details. It's just going to get way too messy as you try to add calls to your schedule. So many of your computers are going to have Microsoft Outlook already installed, and that's a great way to get started. That's a great program you can use to keep track of all the callers' details right there on the calendar. Alternatively, you may choose to use an online calendar like Google Calendar. That would be useful if you have other people in your organization, like a boss or a coworker, especially if they're not in the same physical space with you, that you want them to see kind of what you're up to and what follow-up contacts need to be made and what follow-up contacting that you're doing. If that's important to you or you just like to use kind of online tools, then I would recommend you try out Google's Calendar. You can find that at http://calendar.google.com, and you can find that URL in the notes of this session in the transcript. And if you don't already have a Google account, you'll need to register for one, and that's pretty easy, and it's absolutely free. Okay, so let me just give you a couple more notes before we summarize here on how to make this following up really simple. Okay, I want to make it as easy on you as possible so that you actually do it. So I recommend that you make your future follow-up as simple as possible by transferring the name, the phone number, and the personal details of your prospects to the calendar so it's all right there when you need it. If you only include the prospect's name on the calendar, then what you're going to have to do is go back and dig out their other details off your call tracking sheet or wherever else you've got it, and it just adds way more friction to the whole process. So what I'm recommending is you take all the details and you stick it in the calendar. So it's all right there. You see the calendar item, you know the name of the person you're supposed to call or email or contact in some way, and you've got all the details right there. Their phone number, email, details about their original call, what they're looking for, pricing that you've offered them, etc., etc. All right there. You just got to make it as easy. It's a little more work up front, but you just got to make it as easy as possible on yourself at the beginning so that when it comes time to follow up, you actually do the follow up. We all know that if it feels hard or there's lots of friction, you know, we tend to not want to do it. So I'd also recommend as a second item that you pick not only a specific day to make your follow-up calls, but that you also choose a specific time. So when you put it in your calendar, don't just put it in the day, put it on the calendar a specific time. Our brains want concrete details. So if you pick a specific day and time, you're more likely to actually follow through and make those follow-up contacts because you've set it down in the calendar, you know what the plan is, your brain says it's time to do it, and it's time to do it now. So let's summarize. We've kind of covered a lot of ground here. Let me just give you a quick review. By the way, there's 7 items here. So if you're listening, it'd be real easy to follow along. So number 1, ask for a name and phone number. You're going to get it 9 times out of 10. Number 2, one good reason to ask when they're going to need the space is so that you can find out their decision deadline. All right, number 3, keep a call tracking sheet so you can keep track of the names and phone numbers and email addresses, etc., of your prospective customers. Number 4, use your call tracking sheet to write down personal details that you can use in building rapport when you follow up. Number 5, use your call tracking sheet to write down the details about their situation, like why they are storing and the size space they're considering, etc. Number 6, follow up often. Follow-up is going to help you bring in more rentals and revenue, bottom line, period. Okay, you're probably not doing enough of it now. If you'll do more of it and do it more effectively, you're going to get more customers. And more renters and more revenue are the key benchmarks of success as a property manager. I don't know how to put this any other way, but follow-up is important. It's more important than shuffling papers. It's more important than sweeping units. It's more important than browsing the Chateau catalog. As you're gaining experience with this whole follow-up thing, it might feel a little bit uncomfortable and you might be hesitant to do it. But as you're gaining experience, it's much, much better to make the mistake of following up too often than it is to not follow up enough or not often enough. So make it easy on yourself. This is point number 7. Make it easy on yourself to follow through with your plans by keeping a calendar with the calls written in as appointments and all the pertinent details attached and readily accessible. Well, that wraps up session 1. Check out the Fast Action Workbook in the resources section of this session. You know, the Fast Action Workbook is really just an easy way to review the ground we've covered, and it's also an easy way to begin thinking through and figuring out how you're going to apply all these concepts at your location. So up next, we talk about how to put these tools into use in times when you have a person who calls or stops in but is unwilling to make an appointment or a commitment to store with you, which is probably a lot more often than you'd like. This happens to everybody, so don't feel bad about it. Just be ready. Be ready to do some effective follow-up. And in the next session, you're going to learn some super ninja follow-up tools that'll help you start converting more of these shoppers into renters. So thanks for joining me. I'm Kenny Pratt, signing off until next time.